Our Heavenly Father, as we meditate on this most wondrous truth of Scripture, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, God with us, help us, Lord, to enter into the value, the weight, the glory, the significance of this event. I pray it would touch our hearts, that we would appreciate the incredible gift that you gave and the incredible purposes behind it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shortly after man fell, in Genesis 3:14, God was reproving the serpent, reproving Eve and Adam. And the Lord said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There's a lot of significance there, more than I think they probably grasped, although down through time, everyone who studies the Bible has understood this as a promise of the Messiah. From the seed of the woman, born of a virgin. In Genesis 49:9, we have Jacob blessing his sons before he died. This was many, many years later. He said, "Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up." He stooped down, he couched as a lion, as an old lion. "Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." It was obvious that Jacob understood this. This was passed down, that the Messiah would come. There was coming a great personage. And this great personage would be a great ruler, a great king, who would fix the wrongs that man had created. When Balaam was prophesying over Israel in Numbers 24:17, he says, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth." The wise men that came from the east possibly were coming due to this prophecy, when they saw the star and came searching out for this young child, this who should rise up and rule over Israel. In Psalm 2, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him." This was a prophecy initially concerning some things about King David. But David was a type of Christ, and Christ was called the Son of David. Ultimately, this was pointing to the Lord Jesus. In Isaiah 7:14, the prophet says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel." And this was referring to something that most people at the time would not have thought of this as a messianic prophecy. It had an initial fulfillment, an initial purpose. But ultimately, it was pointing forward to something much greater. In Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So when men read the prophets, they understood that something was coming. Something wonderful. Isaiah 11:1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion shall, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play upon the hole of the ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." We're still waiting for that wonderful time, that city wherein dwelleth righteousness. In Isaiah 52 we have again, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." How this great coming one could be king and lord over the earth and yet have this written about him was hard to understand. Jeremiah 23:5 said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." In Daniel 9:25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." And how that could all come to pass, I'm sure it was very hard to understand. But those dates very those dates lead us right to the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, his inauguration into the priesthood. In Micah 5, verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And the little woman at the well of Sychar said, "We know that Messiah cometh, and when he cometh, he will tell us all things." And they, when Herod called for the wise men, said, "Where's Christ to be born?" They all knew that this one was coming. They all knew where he would be born. They knew many things about it. And yet, they missed it for the most part.
18-25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they were come together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Number 92.
verse 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. But when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Number 129.
Augustus, that all the world could be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out from the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
Number 93.
even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the thing which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus, the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, and a light to light the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel and Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city in Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Number 98.
Angel Father.
Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Number 90.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh, God, ye your coming to heaven.
God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory.
Let's pray.
continue to study and learn from your word, Father, that we would, that our goal and aim would be to please you and not ourselves. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we are called to be salt and light in this world. Father, that we would be the salt and the light that we're supposed to be, not fail. Lord, I thank you for the many blessings you blessed us with, the love that you've showed to us. I just pray that you would help us to walk in the light as you shed light on our path, Father. That everyone here's hearts would be soft and open to your leading. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it grieves me that we are so dull as a human, as a race, as a humankind, that the Creator to become flesh receive such a sad and lacking reception. The angels singing to the shepherds, and yet surely those angels knew that heaven's most prized possession was given into the hands of men. They would seek to destroy him even from his birth. The truth became flesh. Life became flesh. God became flesh. Men hated it. Wanted to destroy it, and finally had their opportunity, and they crucified the Lord of glory. And now we in Christian nations who claim to understand make a holiday out of his birth. Substitute Santa Claus. What a wretched bunch of people we are, Lord. Oh, Father, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, I pray that you would help us, even in our lack, in our dullness, help us to gain a fuller appreciation of what you have done, what you have said, and what you promised yet to do. Oh Lord, help us to shake ourselves and rise out of the mire. Help us to think and comprehend. Father, we thank you for your incredible sacrifice. We thank you that you are willing to invest such time and energy and pain and love in us. Abba, Father, I pray that as we go through this week anticipating the celebration of your resurrection, we are also celebrating your crucifixion. Because it had to be, Lord, otherwise we'd all be going to hell. And though we don't rejoice in it, yet we rejoice in it. We're sorry, Lord, that you had to do such things. We're sorry that we were in such a state, in such a case, that required you to go to such great lengths to redeem us. And yet you promised us a home in heaven eternally. Oh, Father, cursed be ingratitude. Help us, rid us, deliver us from ingratitude, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name.
wanted to share some thoughts that came to me as we were going through some of these verses this morning. Joy to the world. Wise men had great joy. Traveled a long way to meet this new king. Came to Jerusalem. Told Herod what was going on. Herod was troubled. Where was the joy? Herod didn't feel any joy about the news. All Jerusalem was troubled with him. And to be gracious to them, I think it was because they didn't know what Herod would do. They had been with Herod long enough that they knew he was rather hard to deal with at times. The shepherds had great joy. When Jesus was crucified, I think some of the Jews had joy then. Some of them were mourning. Very different responses. And when Christ comes again, there will be many people who will mourn when they see him. And there will be some who will rejoice. It's interesting how Jesus brings forth very opposite responses from people. And yet, those responses are the most natural response for those people to give, because they have prepared themselves in such a way that when they're placed in that situation, that is what naturally they feel.
Right.
We are preparing ourselves . We are programming ourselves. And when we are placed into a situation, circumstances, there is a response that will come naturally to us. If we were placed in the circumstances around Jesus' birth, would we have been one rejoicing, or would we have been one that was troubled? There would have been a natural response there. When Christ comes back again, are we going to be mourning him? Mourning that he came? Are we going to be rejoicing? There will be a response that will just naturally well up within us. We are programming ourselves now as to how we will respond. People who reject the Word of God, the written Word of God, are they going to suddenly rejoice when they see the Word return in bodily presence? No. And think about it. Why was he troubled? Well, he was the king, right? And he heard that a king was born. So this king is going to be a threat to his position? The king's a little baby. How old was Herod? I don't know. But couldn't Herod rejoice in what God was doing? That this long-awaited-for Messiah had finally been born? No, Herod didn't have a heart for things like that. All Jerusalem being troubled? Well, weren't they just thrilled that the Messiah was born? Well, they weren't sure how all this was going to work out yet. They weren't sure what kind of hardships they were going to go through in the process. But wasn't it worth it? God was moving. think about it. Circumstances, trying circumstances, good circumstances, are an excellent opportunity to discern what we're made out of, what we truly want. So pay attention to what that response is. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Be almost like being there with the crowd of those who were mocking him and putting him to death. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, we think it would be hard to lay down our life for a good cause. Well, you are in a small degree every day. But we can't comprehend what it would be like to have a life that would not ever need to end, except that you voluntarily take on yourself something like that. Because my body is going to die sometime. We know that. And so for us to lay down our life for something, it's like, well, it was going to die, it was going to end sooner or later. But Jesus, as being immortal like he was, he didn't have that. So for him to take on mortality as far as the way he did, we can't quite comprehend the depth to which that was just for him to stoop. But we should learn to appreciate it.